Yo, what's up? Welcome to the OKB's podcast, episode 3. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye. Joining me this week is the N7 loyalist, Jared. How do I pronounce your last name?
Weich.
Yeah. Jared Weich, or Jared Weich from Controlled Interests. What's up, Jared?
Nothing much. You're not the first person to have a tough time with my last name. Don't worry, I've been called Witch, Wiki, White, Wickle. There's not even an L.
White is awesome. I like White.
Yeah. Close enough. Yeah. Nothing much. Excited to be on your podcast, man. Glad to see you're starting up a podcast. Happy to be on the third episode.
Oh, yeah, dude. I'm excited to have you. It should be a good episode. This week, we have no Ian. People probably noticed that you haven't heard his luscious voice yet, and that's because he is traveling, coming back to the U.S. for some time. I think he's hanging out in New Jersey with his family and friends, so the best goes out to Ian. I don't think you lost anybody, but just in case.
I wish I could have met him, but maybe next time, so.
Oh, yeah, definitely. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good, man. Ready to get into this. Seems like we got a lot on our plate, and I can't wait to dive in, so.
Oh, yeah. I'm trying to get better at, managing the time spent during this podcast, because in our first two episodes, we tend to spend a lot of time on Persona and a lot of time on, just talking, and then, we don't get to the questions, and so I'm going to try and manage time a little bit better, but we'll see. We'll just hang out and see what happens.
No problem.
You're over on the East Coast, correct?
No, I'm actually, I go off of East Coast when I talk to people because, the two people I podcast with are, I think they're actually both Central, but they go off of East. I'm actually in New Mexico, so I'm Mountain Time, but, Eastern Standard Time seems to work best with everybody when you're talking to them, so that's why I always message with, Eastern Standard, but nope, Mountain Time for me.
Nice, so you're literally just 1 hour ahead of me. Which is nice, because usually I'm podcasting with people that are, 14 hours ahead of me. Or, he's, 8 hours before me, but technically he's, 14 hours ahead of me, because, Japan is so ahead in time. They're so ahead of the game, streets ahead, that it's easy. It's weird. It's a weird situation. Yeah. Okay, cool. I was thinking it was, 8:30 or something for you, so it's literally, you're it's afternoon, basically, or about to be evening soon,
which
is nice. So we're not going to be tired. We're going to be in this. So for the people, OK Beast is a brand dedicated to games, culture, and looking at how games fit within our culture. The OK Beast podcast is a gaming-centric show where a couple of friends come together and talk about what's going on in our world. If you like that, subscribe to us on your podcast service of choice. Visit OKBeast.com and follow at OKBeastNow on Twitter. Still no new microphone. That's something I've been trying to keep people updated with. I got all my material, all my supplies, mailed to me. So I have a new microphone, have a new mixer, have all that stuff, but I haven't set it up. I tried to set it up the other day, and I couldn't really get everything to work the way I wanted it to work. And so I'm still rolling with my Blue Snowball, and you might still hear some static sounds every now and then. And so I apologize for those people listening that hear that and notice that. We'll get it fixed soon. But we're just going to jump in to what we've been doing this last week since we last talked on this podcast. And so I'll start off. This week I watched Rick and Morty, which isn't really anything new. It's not really anything too interesting. But this is my second time watching the series. And I kind of just realized how good Rick and Morty is. Have you seen Rick and Morty, Jared?
Nope. It's one of those things I hear nonstop of how good it is, and I just haven't gotten around to it. It seems like something I would love. It's just one of those shows I just haven't gotten around to, but it looks cool, you know, so.
Are you a fan of, the cartoons, the adult-aimed cartoons?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I have nothing against I love those kind of things. It's just, it's one of those things that, I keep hearing everything about it, and I haven't gotten around to it. And I know I'll love it, but, yeah, it's just, right out of my grasp. It looks cool, though. It looks funny, so.
Yeah, this might be my, top three in terms of, those kinds of cartoons and, the vein of South Park or Family Guy and all that stuff. South Park is probably my favorite, and Family Guy is probably right after it for the older Family Guy episodes. And I think I like Family Guy and I like South Park because of their satire and because of how they make fun of pop culture. Rick and Morty doesn't do any of that. Rick and Morty kind of just does its own thing. And it does a lot of sciencey stuff, which I like. And it's very much like physical humor. And so there's a lot of vomiting, burping, people hitting each other, but it's not like Bugs Bunny hitting each other. It's more like this show is just being ridiculous just to be ridiculous, and there's like a lot of like people like stuttering and it's funny in its own way. Like it creates its own kind of humor. It doesn't really do like the whole like satire thing, which is why I appreciate it.
Like it exists in its own world essentially.
Yeah. That's cool. And if you like other Adult Swim shows, you'll like Rick and Morty. And I don't even like other Adult Swim shows that much, but I still love Rick and Morty. And so I'd say for the people, if you haven't checked out Rick and Morty, definitely check it out. Also this week, I played a lot of Borderlands 2, which is an interesting story behind why I got back into that. Basically, last week I talked about how I played and beat Tales from the Borderlands. Have you played Tales from the Borderlands?
That's actually the only Telltale game I haven't played. Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
I think, to me, it's my favorite one of the Telltale series. And I haven't played that many. I've only played Walking Dead Season 1 and 2. And I think that actually might be it. But out of those three, it's my favorite. I really enjoy the humor. I really enjoy the story. And I'm... This is from somebody who doesn't... Who... I like Borderlands, but I don't really like Borderlands for, like, the story or the world or, like, the characters.
Yeah.
Now I kind of do. After playing this game, it's kind of changed my perspective of Borderlands. To where before, I play Borderlands just for the grind of it, just so I can, like, go through these dungeons or go through these quests and shoot things. And now, after playing this game, I actually kind of like the universe more. And that's what's gotten me back into Borderlands 2. And that's what's kind of, like, kept me in it. Are you a fan of Borderlands at all?
I played partially through the first one. I got to, like, level 12, I think. I played the second one. I got pretty far with a group of friends. They just don't click with me. Like, I understand why people like them. I understand the hook. I think the aesthetic of the game is really cool. I understand, like, it's, you know, getting the next gun, kind of. I just... Those kind of grindy games aren't necessarily for me. And that's why, like I said, I played every other Telltale game except for Tales from the Borderlands. Not because I don't think it's a good game. It's just with Telltale, they are a company that they're definitely pick and choose. Kind of like when you go to the library and you like rent a book. It's like, well, what am I most interested in? I'll go with that, right? I love Game of Thrones. I love Walking Dead. I like Batman a lot, so I picked up that. I haven't played it yet, but yeah, just and obviously Wolf Among Us. It just, I don't know, Borderlands doesn't do it for me. I don't like Claptrap, I think his name is, a robot. I find him personally pretty annoying. I don't like a lot of the characters in the game, really. But by no means am I going to say it's a bad game. It's I understand the hook. It's just not for me.
I feel you on that. In terms of like not liking Claptrap and stuff, like I totally understand why people think he would be annoying. And like a lot of the characters in Borderlands don't tend to click with me. Tales from the Borderlands, I feel like it's a weird situation because like the characters in Tales from the Borderlands actually feel like they have like soul, like they feel it feels like there's something to them, like rather than just like them being in this world where everybody's out to like kill each other and they're just like trying to hunt stuff. Like in Tales from the Borderlands, it feels if the characters seem to, well, one, they have like backstories or whatever, like they have personalities, they seem like sensible people, the people you play with, and there's no Claptrap, which is a plus. I think I'm really glad there is no Claptrap in it. And they have, in my opinion, better robots. They have Loaderbot, which is kind of awesome, and another character named Gordas, who to me is my favorite character in Borderlands period, and one of the favorite characters I've come in encounter with in the last like 2 years. Like Gordas, and I won't say too much because I don't want to spoil it, but like Gordas is just like every time Gordas speaks I tend to laugh. And cool. It's because it's kind of like an over-the-top character, and it's not that like Gordas is like cracking jokes or trying to be overly funny with the dialogue, but just the nature of the character. Like basically it's a robot that has like the spirit of like maybe like a four-year-old girl, and like when awesome. Gordas talks, like it's very much like, it's very spirit-filled and very happy and very joyful, but then, like, there's all this death around, which is... The way they make this robot is just hilarious and is awesome. And so that's my favorite part of Borderlands, Tales from the Borderlands. Borderlands 2, so far, I'm only level 15, I want to say. And so I feel like I've gotten far, but in Borderlands time, I think it's probably not that far. I'm probably, some people will probably still consider me to be in the beginning. But yeah, I'm really enjoying it. I've also been playing Persona 4.
Shocker.
Which people already know I've been playing Persona 4. I've been tweeting about this game for probably like months at this point, and I've been talking about this game every single week. But yeah, game continues to get better and better with every time I get on the game. I enjoy it more, and so, I mean, that's really all the update that's needed. And I also played Marvel's Ultimate Alliance, which just came out, again, for PlayStation 4, and I think Xbox One? Yeah. Yeah, and PC, I think. It came out for all the platforms.
Though it's not working well on PC.
So. Yeah, on PC, it's kind of broken right now.
Yeah.
On PS4, there's some frame rate issues in the first Marvel's Ultimate Alliance. I haven't played that much of the second one, but so far so good in terms of like the 5 minutes I played of the second one. In the first one, I played the first area, and I never played the first one before. X-Men Legends, and I played Marvel's Ultimate Alliance 2 before, but this is my first time playing the first one, and it's I don't know how I feel about it. Like, I heard from a lot of people online that this is the one they prefer, like they like this one better than the second one. So far I'm like, dude, the second one is like way better in my opinion, but that also might be like a time thing to where like that the first one came out in 2006 and the second one came out in 2008 2009, I think, and the second one just looks more like a PS3 game, and the first one looks more like a PS2 game, but yeah, I mean, It's weird going back to a game that I've never played before from the year 2006, because it just seems it hasn't aged well, it seems like, and yeah, I don't know, it's just weird. Are you a fan of Marvel's Ultimate Alliance?
Yeah, I actually played both of them. The second one more extensively than the first, if memory serves me correct. Mm-hmm. It's been a while since I played those games, so I could be wrong, and I actually played one more than two, but if memory serves me correct, I did play two more. I love those games. I never really got into the Diablo games, but you stick superheroes I love into that kind of still situation, and, you know, I'm going to love it. For me, personally, my biggest gripe with these games is the price point. I think they're drastically overpriced. And, you know, I guess it's not that hard of an argument to make the price on PS4, but the fact that we have backwards compatibility on Xbox One, you're telling me that instead of being able to play this game backwards compatible, which is a viable option on Xbox, you're making me pay $40 for one or $60 for both, right? The answer bundle is $60 for both. I really think this is I think Marvel's looking to see how many people loved these games. They have their new commitment to video games, as they've stated before. They're not going the licensed trademark route. They're actually finding studios who have a passion for a type of game and giving them the superhero to do that with. And I really think that this is basically them figuring out if they should make a Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3. And I hope that happens. So to answer your question, I have experience with Marvel Ultimate Alliance. I love those games. I think some people are maybe looking at it through nostalgia-tinted glasses, saying the first one's really great. I think I agree with you. They both don't really hold up too well, but I distinctly remember having a more enjoyable time with 2 than 1. But they're both, for their time, they were good games. Do they hold up? Not so much, but yeah.
Yeah. And even with the second one, I want to say I played the second one, like, last year. Maybe, like, a year and a half ago with some friends. And I enjoyed it. At least playing it co-op, because it's one I had friends there. And 2, I just remember, like, I prefer the camera perspective in 2, because it's not totally like top down, and like 1 isn't completely top down, but it's more like the camera is at a higher angle and it is at a more like tilted upwards angle. Meanwhile, like the second one is trying to be more down to earth a little bit, and I prefer 2 for that, and for like the combo moves and all that stuff. I still have fun with 2, and I'm sure if I played it again today, if I played it with some friends locally, I don't know about online because I haven't played online in the game, but I can't imagine I wouldn't enjoy it. 2 just seems like a great game to me. The price point is kind of ridiculous. The only reason I got it is because I know I'm going to have people to play it with.
Yep.
But if you don't have people to play it with, then and like you're not familiar with these games, I wouldn't say get it for this price point.
Nope.
If you really want them, then maybe. I really wanted them, and so I got them because one, I have good memories with two, and I wanted to see what one is about. And so, yeah, I mean, do what you will with these ones. You gotta be, you have discernment when you're thinking about getting them. And so, yeah, that's pretty much been my whole week. Not, I mean, I haven't played any of the new games that came out besides Marvel's Ultimate Alliance. And so, Jared, what have you been up to this week?
It was a weird week for me. I didn't have anything I super wanted to play, so I just kind of fiddled around with the new Games of the Gold stuff. Not like PS Plus and Games of the Gold weren't really great this month, but I do think that Xbox has a couple of really good ones with Beyond Good and Evil and Spelunky, which are both available through backwards compatibility, which I love because essentially every month you're getting four games for your Xbox One, which is really cool. So I never played Spelunky before, heard great things. I'm a 2D addict. I love 2D games, whether they're 2D platformers, 2D adventure games, 2D puzzlers, like whatever it is. I love 2D games. And Spelunky's just a great time. I don't want to go too in-depth on it, but I went pretty in-depth on our podcast that we recorded this week. I just love the heck out of that game. It's fantastic. The replayability is through the roof. I think it's one of the best games that has been on Games with Gold. It's just a very well-made game. It was made by one guy, which is utterly astounding. I also played Overwatch. There was a new update this week, which we'll be talking about a bit later. But, yeah, the new update's cool. I've been playing the Lucille Ball, which is pretty cool. Yeah, it's just Overwatch is one of those constant things that I play every week, but it's not something I always like to talk about because it's, like, it's there. It's a game I pick up when I have 10 free minutes. One of the weirdest games I played this week, is a snooker. I'm not familiar with snooker. It's essentially weird pool is the way I think of it in my mind. But there was this game on the preview program for Xbox, and I saw that you could get 450 gamer score really easy in the game for like the hour free trial you have for it. So I'm a sucker for free gamer score. So I downloaded it, played it, got the gamer score, got out of it. It's weird. I don't understand it. It's European pool or something. I don't know.
So this is a digital game.
Yeah, it's digital. It's through the preview program, okay. Like We Happy Few and stuff like that, where you get to play it free for an hour. Then you can purchase it. It's essentially early access on Steam, but for Xbox. The cool thing is a lot of these games you can get achievements for, which I didn't know about, in that free hour you have for them, which is cool. The last game I played is a Games with Gold from last month or maybe 2 months ago, Rainbow Six Vegas 2. This is an interesting thing. So this game came out in 2007, I think. I could be wrong about that. The game originally came out, I bought it, I hated it. Absolutely hated Rainbow Six Vegas 2. It was too slow, didn't control right. When it came to Games of Gold, I was like, you know what, I'm going to try it again. It's through backwards compatibility, I can play this game again. Obviously, it doesn't hold up that well. But one of my friends downloaded it too, he had never played through the campaign. And it's very novel, and I actually enjoyed it now. In a world where we're full of very fast-paced games, a very slow shooter where literally almost every move in that game, if you do a wrong move, you're gonna die. The terrorist hunt mode is really cool. So it's weird that, you know, 9 years after, I'm pretty sure it came out in 2007, I could be wrong about that, but almost a decade
it
after
came out a while ago.
Almost a decade after a game came out where I absolutely didn't like it, I actually enjoyed it, which was really weird. But yeah, so Spelunky was definitely my main game this week. I could not stop playing that game. Honestly, doing this podcast right now, I can't wait to finish so I can go play more Spelunky. I love that game so much.
Have you played Rogue Legacy?
No, I've seen it, and it looks very interesting to me. The aesthetic doesn't really do a lot for me. I don't really like it that much. But it does look like a game that if I got my hands on, I'd probably enjoy. It's one of those games I haven't got around to, man. Like, I played Child of Light for the first time this year. Absolutely loved that game. I just never got around to it. And Spelunky's one of those games, too. So if I'm able to get my hands on Rogue Legacy, maybe it's available somehow on the NX when that launches or something. Yeah, I'll definitely check it out.
Yeah, because Spelunky seems like... Spelunky is a roguelike. Is that right? Am I wrong about that?
Yeah, it's a lot of different genres. Like, it's... It's just like a mashup of a lot of different things. It's hard to explain. Like, even for my podcast explaining it, I had to sit there for like a good 5 to 10 minutes explaining it because there's so much happening in the game, and it's very like genre agnostic. Yeah, you could say it's roguelike. Definitely, that's a good descriptor for it. So
yeah, because I've heard similarities, like people compare Spelunky and Rogue Legacy, because I had I think I've had like a similar story to you that I had with that you've had with Splunky that I've had with Rogue Legacy, where I think it was maybe a year and a half ago I was playing Rogue Legacy for the first time, and I either got it on sale or it was either like a PS Plus game or something, I can't remember, but I had almost no interest in Rogue Legacy. Like, I heard people talk about it on podcasts and stuff, so that kind of got me interested, but like, as far as my interest before playing it, I wasn't really like, I was like, okay, whatever. Then I got into the game and it was really difficult, which kind of put me off to it a little bit, but then I played it more and more, and the more and more I played it, the more and more like it pulled me. It was kind of addicting that way. And I played Splunky like once, now that I think about it, and I had that similar experience where it was really difficult, but I didn't stick with it. I kind of just like played it once and I was like, okay, I'm good, because it was so difficult that I just didn't want to continue with it.
Is it
that kind of thing of like it the more you play it, the better you kind of get, and the more it pulls you in?
Yeah, so it's super difficult. I like to describe it as the Dark Souls hook, where essentially there's games where you die in them and it's frustrating, but you know why you died. You know the mistake you made. So that lends itself to you wanting to go back and play a game over and over again. And as you keep playing it, you get better and better at it. You learn little intricacies of the game. And yeah, this game is very hard. It's very unforgiving. There's no checkpoints in the game. There's shortcuts you can unlock, but they're very tedious to unlock. But I love Dark Souls. I love the Trials games. And those games are known for being difficult. I love difficult games. I love torturing myself. And yeah, it's definitely difficult, and it definitely makes you want to keep playing, even though it gets you so angry.
Is it one of those situations where you die and then like your character gets better like through abilities, or is it like it's just skill, like
no,
you're just getting better as a player?
So this game is essentially you learn and you get better, but you also learn intricacies of the game. Like, so you'll learn certain so every level's generated differently, so every time you play the game it's different. The aesthetic's kind of the same, but it's different as far as placement, and you learn intricacies of like how a certain enemy moves, or how you can exploit this enemy, or how you can exploit this kind of part of the game, interacting with this part of the game. So you don't get any level ups for playing through multiple times. You can unlock characters that you randomly find and stuff like that, but you start from zero every time you die, from scratch.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's definitely a difference from Rogue Legacy, because the thing I like about Rogue Legacy is that like whenever I died, it wasn't like a lost cause. Like, I always had you were always collecting coins throughout that run, and so it's also like procedurally generated, and so it's different every time you go into the castle. But when you died, you can use your coins, spend them on different upgrades, different abilities, so next time you go in, you're a little bit better. And it wasn't even like that much of an upgrade, but it would be like these incremental upgrades that like by the time you're on your 150th run, you're way better than you were on your first run. And also like you've learned about how like you've learned the enemies, how they move, you learn more about the castle and about its structure, and on the right is this place. If you go up, you reach this area, and if you go down, you reach this area. But it's still procedurally generated. But that's cool though. That's cool. Yeah, I mean, you should tweet at me about Splunky, because I'm actually kind of curious now, and I might check it out again. Because
on Vita too, which I didn't know about. And
oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, then I'll definitely check it out.
Yeah, it's definitely a great Vita game. Dom recently got a Vita from our podcast, and we were talking about this on our podcast, and we found out I didn't know it was on Vita. So it's a great game, and I'm pretty sure the team, I don't know if it's a team or a guy who made a Rogue Legacy, they were probably certainly inspired by Spelunky, because obviously Spelunky came out way before, and seems like there's a lot of ties there that have these games being one and the same, you know, so.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, let's transition to news. First up, Inside for the PlayStation 4 has been announced, and it's coming out like later this month. Have you seen this?
Yeah, I'm super excited, man. So I'm an Xbox owner, and I love Inside. Mm-hmm. It's currently my game of the year, personally. Love the game so much.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I have not touched the game.
Yeah, it's game of the year for me. And, you know, a lot of people would be angry. Like, I thought this was an Xbox exclusive. Why is this coming so soon to PlayStation? I want as many people that can get their hands on this game to get their hands on this game. You're telling me 40 million people at the very least are going to have the opportunity to get this game. Awesome. I would have loved if this would have came out for all platforms on release. It's a fantastic game. I'm super happy that PlayStation owners are getting this game. Like, it may not be everyone's game of the year like it is mine, but it definitely is an experience worth having. It's your Gone Homes, your Limbos, obviously, from the same studio, your Witnesses. Like, I wish I could play Witness, but I don't own a PS4. Yeah, I'm super happy. I'm super happy that people are going to be able to play Inside on the PlayStation.
Yeah, I'm really ready to play it because I've heard such great things, and also I loved Limbo, and so like I know for a fact this game is gonna blow me away, and so I'm excited for it. I don't want to overhype it in my mind, and so yeah. I'm trying to, like, right now I know nothing about the game except for like the style of it because I've seen like screenshots and I've seen the cover, but apart from that, like, I know basically nothing, so I'm really excited for it. And I think it's kind of weird that it's coming out only a month later and they're kind of just announcing it. But I mean, I'll take it. Like, I'm not going to complain about that since I'm a PlayStation person. And so, really, really hyped about that. Next up, we have the Overwatch Summer Games, where it was announced, and released as an update,
out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere, like, yeah. And it's a pretty like substantial update too. Like, it's a lot of it's like temporary stuff. I'll go ahead. I'll read part of the post that Overwatch put up on their website, playoverwatch.com. It says, "Crack your knuckles, stretch those hamstrings, and turn up the volume. The summer games have begun. For the next 3 weeks, we're celebrating the spirit of competition in true Overwatch fashion. Earn special seasonal loot boxes, collect over 100 new cosmetic items, and hit the field with your friends in our latest brawl." Lucio Ball. There's a new brawl. Have you played Lucio Ball yet?
Yes, and I enjoy it thoroughly.
It kind of blew my mind when I first went into it. Because, like, I was like, oh, cool, they made, like, a soccer game. And then I was, like, the more I stared at it, the more I was like, is this Rocket League?
Exactly.
And then I was like, this can't be Rocket League. And then I kind of analyzed it more, and I was kind of looking around. I was like, this can't be Rocket League. Then I was like, the ball is like super large and an explosion happens when you make a goal, or not necessarily like an explosion, but like a celebration thing happens when you score a goal, and like it's 3-on-3 and it's like this sci-fi futuristic kind of stadium. Then it hit me. I was like, dude, this is exactly Rocket League, which I think is amazing kind of awesome for a game such as Overwatch, which is this huge like AAA game from like some of the biggest developers, and they're like acknowledging Psyonix, which is like a smaller developer, but they made this game that kind of blew up a little bit, and like I just thought that was really, really cool. But yeah, like how do you feel about the update, and how do you feel about Lucio Ball and all this stuff?
So I love it. I've been a huge advocate for Overwatch. When you were on our podcast, we talked about Overwatch 2 extensive you know, for me, I knew from the beginning, I've played Hearthstone. I know how Blizzard works. They're very good at post-release content. It's in them, you know? And this is cool. There's skins you can get that are for limited time, and some people are like, oh, why is it limited time? Because then it matters. And I think it's cool that, you know, in the spirit of the Olympics, you have these skins for each character's country. Well, I don't think every character got a skin, but most characters got skins. You get a free Summer Games loot box when you first start up after the update. I ended up getting Mercy's Swedish homeland skin, which is cool because I play Mercy a bit. She's probably my go-to support character. But there's like Torbjorn has his own skin. McCree has an American flag draped around him, which is really cool. I really think it's awesome. I like limited time event stuff. It's a huge thing for Hearthstone of like you get to a certain ranking and then when the month passes, you get really cool card backs. As far as Lucio Ball, it's cool. It's a really cool game mode. It's fun. I like how they found a character that worked well for it. They turned off one of his abilities, the ability to switch to his heal because it doesn't really make sense. It's heavily inspired by Rocket League. At first, when they announced it, I thought it was in partnership with Psyonix. That's how close it looks to Rocket League. It's really fun. Adds to you wanting to play that game more. Maybe you get tired of playing the normal game modes and you want to go play something completely different. It's unlike any other game, quote-unquote, game mode in Overwatch. It's just a fun time. I think this is great. It was free. It was out of nowhere. No one knew about this. I think Blizzard is, this is great for obviously PC gamers because they're used to this with Blizzard. This is great for Blizzard in the eyes of console gamers because they're like, oh, you know, we got it with Witcher 3 and CD Projekt Red of like, oh, this is a good game company. Now they're getting to see that with Blizzard, which if they ever do release paid DLC for Overwatch, which I don't think they ever would, and maybe they will in the future, people will be a lot mm-hmm. more prone to buying that because you're giving them such great free content. So,
yeah. And it's funny because last week I kind of talked about how I was taking a break from Overwatch. One, because I was kind of I kind of need to play other games. And Overwatch kind of like, yeah, for my sanity and for the sake of like, man, I just kind of got to experience something else because like I could play Overwatch probably for the whole year, and I did that with Rocket League. And two, just because I was like the competitive Overwatch competitive was kind of getting to me. And in terms of, like, my interactions with other players, it just kind of reminded me of my interactions in Call of Duty and other competitive games. And I was like, I can step away for a while. As soon as this update came out, I kind of just went back in. I was like, okay, well, I guess I'm playing more Overwatch because I only got 3 weeks to get these costumes and Lucio Ball. And this update is pretty awesome. And so I can't just, like, it's a weird thing of my sister was asking me the other day about Pokemon Go. And she was asking me, like, how is Niantic, she didn't really say Niantic, but I'm putting words in her mouth, she's like, how is Niantic gonna keep players playing the game and stuff, or how do they keep people from getting bored? And I kind of explained to her like what updates are and
the breadcrumb trail.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I kind of explained the whole process to her, and like there's no better example of that than what Blizzard is doing with Overwatch right now, where the game came out only like, what, 2 months ago, 3 months ago?
Yep.
And they've already released a new character. Like, they already have this awesome update with, like, a limited time thing that's, like, a celebration of the current season with an awesome new game mode. I mean, of course, it's temporary, but, it's still getting people back into the game. It's still getting me back into the game. And so, I mean, I think it's awesome. I'm really excited to go back and play it. Probably right after this podcast, so I can unlock some more skins, and yeah, I mean, I think it's really cool.
Yeah,
so,
go ahead. Sorry, go ahead. I was just gonna say, so the thing that's smart that they're doing is, so this gets related. Overwatch gets related to MOBAs for so many reasons, even though it's not really even like a MOBA for most parts. The hook with MOBAs is that they release a new character, and that's what brings people in. Which they released Anna, and that probably did bring a lot of people back in or continue to have them play it. For the people who aren't MOBA-centric or have that MOBA tick, this is another way to get people to continue playing. The cosmetic point, the different game mode point, you know? So they're definitely doing something mm-hmm. different for MOBAs, but they are learning from them in the sense of, like, the ongoing hook of getting people back into your game. Oh, yeah, I wasn't going to stop playing Overwatch, but now they have a reason for me to go back, you know? So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This whole Overwatch update is all pretty good news. But what isn't good news, Powers, the PlayStation TV show, is canceled. So I'm not going to go into the article. I got it from a GameSpot article. But man, what the heck, man? Like it's an interesting thing. Like I never watched Powers, and so I'm not broken up about it at all, but no, I just think did. It's that's funny about canceled. Like yeah, exactly. That's exactly why. I just think it's funny how like both like PlayStation and Xbox had their venture into TV and that kind of entertainment, and both of them just kind of tanked, it seems like, which I think is a message that's kind of clear from gamers, which is they don't want TV. Do you have any opinions on this in terms of Powers being canceled? And
well, one of my favorite online musician/rappers, Dumbfounded, I don't know if you're familiar with him. He's yep, a Korean rapper. He was on an episode for some reason. He got cast and he was in an episode. Yeah, which is weird, but that's cool for him. I was never interested in the show. I love superheroes and stuff, but this never... A, I don't own a PlayStation product, and B, it just never seemed like anything that I don't think... That I think was worth anybody watching, and I hate to say that because people probably spent a lot of hard work on this, but... It's obvious they got canceled for a reason, you know. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Fun fact: in like 2000, maybe 11, 2010, maybe I wrote a diss track towards Dumbfounded, which I was going to record, and I never did. but that was me in high school, and so it's a funny story that I've never actually like gone. I've never actually put out there.
That's funny.
But yeah, that's cool. But back to good news, or maybe bad news. Who knows? Pokemon Go has another update. This update is kind of important because a couple things happened with this one. One, which I think is the funniest thing about this update, is that whenever you open the app, they like tell you, they give you different warnings, like, hey, yeah, don't trespass. Hey, don't like walk in the street blind while you're playing this game. Hey, don't go to strangers in the park if they're offering you candy. Like, this is like random warnings that like is kind of common sense stuff that they put at the beginning of the app. And so I thought that was hilarious. And also, what I think is more like substantial is they got rid of the tracking system, in terms of like the footprints, the 3-2-1 footprint kind of system there. Do you play Pokemon Go, Jared?
Not so much anymore, but I do have a lot of opinions on this. Like, Niantic definitely seems like a company that, I mean, they had Ingress, which Pokemon Go is basically a skin of. That wasn't super successful. This is a company who doesn't know how to handle success. It seemed like for a while they knew how to do that, but it seems like this was bigger than they ever anticipated. They probably knew it was going to be big. It's Pokemon. Like, let's be real. Mm-hmm. But this is definitely a company that I don't think is familiar with having this big of an audience on your platform. I think they're doing everything they could possibly do wrong. And it's funny because they're associated with Nintendo to some capacity, which, where have we heard that before? Mm-hmm. Like, the tracking system is very dumb for them to get rid of because it was one of the major features of the game. And actually, it was one of the parts, one of the hooks. Like, people would see the 3 footsteps. Okay, what direction do I go? Oh, two steps. That's cool. That's cool. Which direction? Oh, 1 step. Okay, mm-hmm. It's really close. Removing that feature pulls out a vast majority of their audience. The people that were barely in it, that weren't even Pokemon fans to begin with, they're out. What's the hook there? If you're getting rid of the tracking system, I'm not invested enough to do anything. People already, you know, demanding refunds. People, this is going south fast, and they're not doing anything as far as statement-wise to recover. I'm sure people will be dedicated to this game. I liked it. I never thought it was anything crazy. I don't think anybody who were familiar with video games thought it was anything crazy. It's a mobile game. I can only get into mobile games for so long, even if it's Pokemon. It is what it is. This removing the tracking system was really dumb, in my opinion. Super dumb.
Yeah. Yeah, and I said this in an earlier episode, in my opinion, like, Pokemon Go, and I think objectively almost, like, Pokemon Go isn't that great of a game. I mean, it's great for what it is culturally and for bringing everybody together and for what it does with AR, and the concept, like, is amazing. Like, there are many amazing things about Pokemon Go, and there are many awesome things about Pokemon Go, but it, as, like, a game itself, isn't really that good, for multiple reasons. Like, the servers are one reason, and even though, like, the servers seem to be better now, taking out the tracking system, horrible decision. And, it's an interesting thing to watch, because this Pokemon Go is a bigger game than, like, any game within, like, the last, like, few years. I don't know how long. But it's making it, watching it make these, like, kind of mistakes and missteps, and, seeing it kind of play out, it's pretty interesting. Like, you don't know what's gonna happen with this game. You don't know if it's gonna, like, come out and be, like, big again. And I mean, it still is big because it's still riding that wave. But you don't know, like, if Pokemon, the Pokemon company, or Niantic or whatever, like, comes out and releases the Johto region of Pokemon and releases, like, 100 more Pokemon or whatever. Like, are people gonna come back into it, or, like, is it gonna fade away because, one, they're not keeping the stove hot, and two, like, they're kind of putting water on the stove by making crappy decisions. I don't know. It's an interesting thing for me to watch. But I mean, since we're talking about bad news, let's just end it with a story that you actually have, Jared. Yeah.
Really quick before we move into the story, I just want to say that, like, I think this game is going to try to tread water until the NX comes out. I think this will have. For the NX rumors of it being mobile, and for this game being huge mobily, I don't think it's too far-fetched to... Pokemon, get it? For you to think that this is going to have any involvement with NX, because I think it will. it's weird. Pokemon Go launched as though it was the Wii, you know, something that it was super successful. People were shocked it was super successful. They didn't really know what it was. It's not, you know, the game's not too great. The Wii wasn't too powerful. And now it's slow. Mm-hmm. The Pokemon Go slowly turning to the NX. What is it? What is it going to become? Are people going to be excited with it? Are people going to be disappointed? You know, it's kind of weird, those parallels.
But do you think Pokemon Go is going to be on the NX?
To some capacity, I do believe so. It makes too much sense, which I don't know if Nintendo would do something like that, but it's just so weird that this is they're merging their console with their mobile, they're partnering with Niantic, and they're bringing mobile games. Like, it just seems too similar. If I was a betting man, I would bet on it being on it as opposed to not being on it, but who knows? It's more of a 60-40 as opposed to like a 90-10 for me. But yeah, so this last news story comes by way of IGN. It is by, I want to credit the writer here, Matt Porter. Ghostbusters game developer files for bankruptcy. You guys have probably heard about this on the internet. Developer Fireforge, creator of the Ghostbusters movie tie-in game, filed for bankruptcy. This wasn't the Ghostbusters game wasn't the sole reason they filed. There was a lot of issues relating up to this, including a lawsuit that they got from a lawyer because the company signed a deal to license a social media platform for $3.7 million, but instead they just made their own, which is kind of weird. So this whole situation, how successful do you expect a game to be when you want it made in 8 months and it has no tie into the new or the old Ghostbusters? Doesn't feature any of the old Ghostbusters, doesn't feature any of the new Ghostbusters. It's four unique ones. No one cares. It was hard enough to get people to go watch the new Ghostbusters, much less play a Ghostbusters game that features none of the new ones and none of the old ones. It sucks that people are losing their job. Hopefully they find jobs elsewhere, but this isn't surprising by any means. That game, I didn't play it, but from the looks of it, looked like a very poor attempt at a video game. I mean, they were forced to make it in 8 months, you know? Yeah, I just think this is not surprising by any means. And, you know, we're coming to a point, especially with, like, the Spider-Man game for PS4, where I think companies are starting to realize that these licensing deals aren't the great thing anymore. You need to have care for your product. And you see Marvel being like, you know, Insomniac, right? Is making a Spider-Man.
Yeah, Insomniac,
game?
Yeah.
Insomniac, make this great game. You did it with Sunset Overdrive, make this game. Instead of, hey, Activision, can we license this out, make a game every 8 months? It doesn't work anymore. It clearly doesn't, you know? Mm-hmm. And Ghostbusters is too great. I don't really think the first movie is that great. I like it, but Ghostbusters is a franchise you can make a great game out of, and yeah, it's not surprising by any means, you know? So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's weird that this isn't, like, a mobile game, or, like...
Yeah.
I don't know. It doesn't seem... It's a very weird thing to do in 2016, to release a licensed game that's, like, based on a movie that just came out. Like, that's not a thing that happens anymore. That's the thing that happened during the PS2 era. That's the thing that kind of happened during, like, the PS3 era. That's the thing that happened on, like, the Wii and stuff with, like, shovelware. Like, you don't see this thing happen anymore. And that's because, like, games have become harder to make. Games are more expensive to make. You need more time to make games. And people have kind of realized that. And people kind of realize that there's a bigger install base on mobile. And so we can just put our movie-based licensed games on mobile. And so, I mean, yeah, it's a really weird thing to see them release a Ghostbusters game on consoles. I mean... Yeah, I haven't seen anything from the game because also they didn't do a good job of marketing it. I didn't know the game was a thing until like maybe like a couple weeks ago. And even with that, I still like I haven't seen one screenshot of the game. I haven't seen like a case. I haven't seen it like listed anywhere online. I'm pretty sure like most gamers probably don't even know that there's a such thing as a Ghostbusters game. That would be my guess. Yeah, and so like I mean marketing aside like a bad game and it's a bad idea to release your game this way with only 8 months to develop but even more so like if you're gonna make a game just for the sake of like capitalizing off of a movie, then at least like let people know that your game's there, like market it as such, because now then you're just like you're kind of just wasting people's time with this if you're not going to like really like talk about like how talk to everybody about your game and tell everybody like, hey, we have a game, you know, and tell like kids like, hey kids, you can play as Ghostbusters and It's a weird situation.
Well, I don't think they wanted to market it, though, because it doesn't feature any of the new Ghostbusters, the females, and it doesn't feature any of the old Ghostbusters. So who are they going to market it to, you know? I think they're kind of embarrassed at the fact that it doesn't feature either of them, so they're like, well, it has Ghostbusters. Some people will buy it by accident, so let's just put it out there. I don't think they wanted to make a big marketing spiel because they're like, hey, here's our Ghostbusters game that doesn't feature any of the original cast or any of the new cast. You know, it's weird.
Yeah, it's a really weird thing. So I didn't even know it didn't feature any like the new people. Cause I just assumed like if it's a Ghostbusters game coming out now, I just assumed it was gonna be based off of the movie. But if it doesn't even have like the new female cast, then what's it? Yeah, once again, weird situation. But I guess so. I guess people don't learn until you learn. So I think next up we're just gonna go on to guest talk. Heads up, actually, for you, Jared, specifically, I wrote a topic of the day. This is actually our leftover topic of the day from last week. This wasn't supposed to be our topic of the day, but you can still answer it if you want to. I don't know if you prepare for it.
I'm always down to talk about my 10 favorite games. Actually, the weird thing is, so I use Evernote, and I have an ongoing list of my favorite games of all time that I recently have updated. So, yeah, I'm down.
Nice. Okay, cool. We'll go through that then. I also have a list. I have a list of like maybe like my top 30 something games of all time, and I regularly update it. Like I go back and I make changes, and I'm like, you know what? I think I switched up what number one was very recently. And I think I switched it from like Super Mario 3 to Super Mario 64. And I think like the first one on there was like Grand Theft Auto San Andreas or something like that. I don't know. But we'll get to that later. Right now, we'll move on to guest talk. And so, Jared, you're our guest. I want you to talk about who you are. What do you do?
Okay. So I am Jared Weich. You can find me at Twitter at Jared _. That's J-E-R-R-A-D _. You can find me at Controlled Interests, at C-T-R-L-I-N-T on Twitter, and just Google Controlled Interests. It'll pop up. Yeah, I do stuff on the internet. I have a degree in graphic design. I'm going to be going to school pretty soon for game design. I just do stuff on the internet, man. I help people make logos for their stuff. I do podcasting. I tweet about weird stuff. I'm a content creator, I guess. I don't really like saying that too often. It's kind of a weird term. Mm-hmm. I just make stuff on the internet. I've been doing it for a while. I actually, a lot of people don't know this, I had a YouTube way back when. So my last name is Weich, but I had a nickname. I had a weird, funny, like, thing, inside joke of, like, somebody would call me, like, Washifa Show, which doesn't really mean anything. But so I had a show called The Washifo, S-H-O-W. And I would talk about pop culture. I ended up getting like 400 subscribers, and then I just stopped making videos, which is a weird thing. Oh, wow. It's kind of like, I don't know if you're familiar with Philip DeFranco. I was kind of like that, but with pop culture. And I guess he does it with pop culture. And then I stopped doing that. And then I did a Let's Play channel. I got up to like 1,200 subscribers, and I just stopped. So I've been doing stuff for a while, you know. I'm pretty familiar with the ongoing stuff. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah, for the most part.
Okay. Sweet. Yeah. And I also asked you to bring a topic. And so, if you may, can you go ahead and tell us what that topic is?
Oh, yeah. It's not anything too crazy. I don't want to talk about, like, the state of the industry or anything. I just wanted to ask, like, you know, it's been a great year for games. The Witness, Uncharted 4, Overwatch, Inside, which is my personal game of the year. But we have, almost a half year or less than half a year ahead of us. And I just want to know what the game you're... like both of us are what we're most looking forward to with the game that we want to play the most that's coming out. Mm-hmm. For me, it would have to be Below. It's scheduled to come out in 2016, but we still have no release date. It's from Cappy Games. It just looks like a really interesting indie experience. I was originally very excited for No Man's Sky, not from an overhype perspective, but just when I first heard about that game, I was like, this is intriguing. How deep will it be? Upon finding out how deep it'll be, I wouldn't say I'm disappointed, but I realized that it wouldn't be a game that I thought it was going to be. So I lowered my expectations. I still think it's going to be a great game, but it's not a game I'm excited for, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I don't own a PlayStation, so Last Guardian is 100% off my radar. I hope it's good. I doubt it will be.
I forgot that's coming out.
Yep.
Dude, thanks for reminding me about that.
No problem. Final Fantasy 15. I have no ties to the Final Fantasy franchise. That demo did nothing for me at E3 except worry me. I would definitely say Below and also ReCore. A lot of people, this just seems like the game a lot of people have been loving to hate, but everyone who had hands on at E3 seem to have enjoyed it. I think that it people tend to forget it's coming out at a $40 price point, which I think is fantastic. It's smart. This isn't going to sell for $60. Will it sell for $40? Possibly, maybe. You know, it has ties. The creator of Mega Man's behind it, which is in some cases bad for Mighty No. 9. But you know, he has a proven track record, and this may be something great. And I really like the aesthetic of it, and I love that you can pre-order the game and get a free copy of Banjo-Tooie for backwards compatibility, which is super cool. I think it's going to be a good game. Don't think it'll be a great game by any means, but I think it'll be a solid 7.
Maybe that's a weird. A that's like a weird pre-order bonus, right? Like, is there a reason why Banjo-Tooie is the one specifically?
No clue. There's probably some developer tie or something. No clue. It's probably because it's a third-person platformer. Mm-hmm. 3D third-person platformer. The probably is like, if you want to get ready for this, here's this. You know. But Banjo-Tooie is nowhere as good as Banjo-Kazooie. Yeah, so Recore and Below. Yeah. There's a ton of games that I can't wait to play, but you know, this is about the game I'm most excited for, and it's probably Below. Cuphead, close second or third. So then again, those.
Oh yeah, dates, forget about Cuphead.
So. Yep. Xbox exclusive, I think, sadly though.
Yeah, sadly, Xbox has really good exclusives, is what I've kind of realized. Like with Recore, looks awesome, and to me, Recore looks like it might be another Ratchet and Clank. And I know I'm making obvious comparisons because of the $40 price tag and also, like, the shooty stuff. But I think, like, I don't know. If it can come out with a $40 price tag and be good, then it's great. Like, then it's awesome because it's already kind of exceeded our expectations. Because I feel like with that $40 price tag, people have already set the bar low. And with it being what it was at E3, what people kind of saw it as, it was kind of not what people were expecting. And it was less, like, AAA, and I don't mean that as like it's in a disparaging way, but like it they had a more honest showing at E3, and they're kind of like, okay, this is what the game is. And seeing that, like, I think it's still gonna be a good game. It's gonna be a cool game, I bet. But seeing that they're kind of honest in this presentation and not just showing like this pre-rendered
sizzle reel or footage something.
Yeah, exactly. Like I think that says something about kind of their confidence in the game, and setting at a $40 price tag also says something about their confidence
and their
in the
honesty
game,
with it. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And so that's not one of my picks because I don't have an Xbox, sadly. Who knows, I might get it on PC since every Xbox game is a PC game now. But for me, Deus Ex Mankind Divided is definitely one.
Good choice.
Yeah, mainly because I played Human Revolution and that became one of my favorite games. It's probably, I think it's in probably the 20s in my list. And Human Revolution, basically, it reminded me a lot of Metal Gear Solid in terms of, like, the sneaking, in terms of the stealth, in terms of the sci-fi-ness of it. But it's like if Americans made Metal Gear Solid rather than Hideo Kojima. And so I'm really excited to see what Mankind Divided does, because I'm really fascinated to see the continuation of this augmented stuff. I feel like the robot human thing has kind of been a running theme in a lot of games and a lot of stories lately within the last couple of years. Fallout kind of did the synth thing. There's another game, I can't remember which one it was, that did the synth thing. Detroit Become Human is doing the cyborg thing. I don't know what they call them in Detroit, but it's been kind of like a common theme.
I believe.
Yeah, Android. That kind of thing has been kind of like a common theme lately, I feel like. But Human Revolution kind of did it before. It was cool. And I mean, not necessarily in entertainment media in general, but in terms of like games recently, Human Revolution did it before all these latest ones have come out. And Mankind Divided seems to be hitting the same notes. And I mean, those games just do kind of some weird things. You know, I'm really excited for it. Like, I'm a huge Metal Gear Solid fan, which kind of means I'm a huge Deus Ex fan, in my opinion. I know a lot of people probably might not think the same way, but, I mean, those games go hand-in-hand with each other for me. And so, Mankind Divided, I'm really excited for. South Park, I'm also really excited for.
Fractured Butthole.
Yeah, the Fractured Butthole. And so, and that's, I mean, mainly because, like, of course, the first one was amazing. And so, and This one is even doing a story that I'm more invested in. I love the season of South Park where they did the superhero stuff, and I love superhero movies, and so this game is, like, tailor-made for me. And Stick of Truth was an amazing game, and so, like, yeah, this one's also, this one's my game, this one's a game for Blessing, and so, apart from those two, I'm also excited for The Last Guardian, because I just want to see what it is. I'm probably not going to pre-order it, I'm probably going to let it come out, I'm at least going to read the reviews before I buy it. Just to see, like, make sure it's not crap. But I'm a huge, huge Ico fan. I'm a huge, huge Shadow of Colossus fan. I think Shadow of Colossus is my top 5. If not, it's top 10 for sure. But yeah, like, I have to play Last Guardian just to see. You know, if I don't play it this year, if it's crap, I'll still play it eventually. Even if it gets, like, 4s, I'll play it next year sometime. Who knows? But yeah, those are the games for me, I think, are the ones I'm most anticipating this year.
Awesome.
And I just hope they're all good. So, yeah, that's that.
Yeah.
We'll move on to a segment called Last Week on the site, which is basically where we talk about kind of what's posted on the site within the last week. So once again, this week, it's weird because we're recording this on a Thursday, and I usually post on Wednesdays and Fridays, and so... But I don't even know if I'm going to post on Friday this time, and so we'll see. If I do, I'll talk about that post next week. But as far as what we've posted last week as of the time you're hearing this, this week as of the time I'm recording this, I posted an article called Borderlands Tales and How I Realized the Importance of the Universe. And basically, to kind of sum that up, it's basically about how playing Tales from the Borderlands led to me getting back into Borderlands 2. And basically about how I kind of realized that world building and universe building is kind of an important thing, and how they kind of affect each other. It's not really an in-depth article. In fact, I wrote it really quickly, and so it's not that long at all. It's pretty brief, and it's pretty, like, kind of, I just kind of put my thoughts on the pad and kind of uploaded it. But it's there if you want to check it out, and that's on okbeast.com. And so next up, we'll do our topic of the day. Which is top 10 games of all time. And we'll kind of give like a brief synopsis of our list. I'm going to do this list again in the future. And so
this is personal too, right? This isn't like objectively the top 10 best video games.
Yeah, this isn't objective. This is for, I think this is more for us.
Okay.
So our personal top 10.
Right.
And so, when I do in the future, I'll probably do like a top 30 or top, like, I'll give a whole spiel on my whole list, but for now we'll dwell on our top 10 each. And so how do we want to do this? Do you want to go back and forth starting from 10? Does that sound
I don't have it in any particular order, but I was just gonna go through them really quick, give a short synopsis of why it's on my list, and then I'll do all 10 of them and then move on to you. I don't want the podcast to run too long, so I figured I'd just get it out
that
there
sounds
really
good.
Quick. Okay, so...
Yeah, that sounds good for time's sake.
I have it divided in between arcade and indie and retail and big party. That's how I have it listed. So I'll give you my 5 top ones for each one. So for arcade indie, Limbo, which has actually been recently replaced by Inside. I love the Play Dead guys. Both of their games are two of my favorite indie games or experiences of all time. Love Inside. I love Limbo. I can't wait, like I said, for PlayStation players to be able to play Inside. It's my current game of the year. Love it so much. And I can't wait to see what Playdead does in another 6 years, because the jump from Limbo to Inside was fantastic. Secondly, Valiant Hearts The Great War. There's not too many great games talking about World War I. This game does it in a very educational and awesome manner. The storytelling in this game is great. It's one of the UbiArt games that came out alongside Child of Light. Valiant Hearts is a fantastic game. If you haven't played it, definitely play it. It's great storytelling. One of my favorite games of all time, obviously. Walking Dead Season 1. I really love the story of Clem. I really got attached to her. I really thought she was a fantastic character. Her relationship with Lee was awesome. And I would argue to say that first season of Telltale's Walking Dead is better than any season on the TV show. I like the TV show too, but that's just me. So Brothers Tale of Two Sons. I don't know if you're familiar with this game. It was an indie game that came out where there was two brothers and you controlled each of them with the joystick. It's one of those games where there's not a single point of dialogue in the game, but the storytelling is fantastic. Love it. Shovel Knight is arguably my favorite indie game is up there with my favorite game of all time. Absolutely love Shovel Knight. For me, not growing up in the era where Mega Man was a huge thing, I still like Mega Man games. I love them to death. But it didn't have the nostalgia factor with me. A great gameplay, don't get me wrong, but Shovel Knight is my Mega Man, essentially. And obviously, I played a lot later in life, but like, it just does everything so well. It mixes RPG elements with 2D platforming and stuff like that, and it's a great experience. The soundtrack's second to none. And my honorable mention for arcade indie games is the Trials series. Trials Evolution, all of them, Trials Fusion. I love those games so much. So then going to Retail Big Party, really quick. This game it's not a very good game, but it does hold a special place in my heart. Army of Two. It is one of my first really good co-op experiences with somebody, couch co-op. I just loved playing with a friend through that game. It was just a great experience. Not the best game, to be completely honest with you, probably doesn't hold up well, but it was the co-op experience that I cherished the most, not necessarily the game itself. Dark Souls, the first Dark Souls, is one of my favorite games of all time. I am a sucker for tough games. I'm a sadomasochist at heart, it seems like. I love self-punishment. Dark Souls is unlike any other game. It controls better than almost every other game. It's brutally addictive. It teaches you right from wrong. I love games that are brutally hard from the beginning and don't have basically training wheels. I love Dark Souls to death. Call of Duty Modern Warfare, Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare, basically introduced me to the world of online gaming. I love Call of Duty 4. Has arguably the best story for a Call of Duty game. Shooting mechanic. I'm so happy about the remaster. I'm not spending $80 to get it, though. I'm going to wait till it becomes its own thing. That's insane. I'm really mad about that, but Activision, of course, does stuff to screw people over. That's a topic for another day, though. I don't want to go on too long. Metro Last Light. Are you familiar with the Metro series, 2033 and Last Light?
I've heard of them. I've watched reviews for them. I've never played them, though.
So I haven't played 2033. That was the first one. I actually own the bundle. I'm going to get to playing that soon. Last Light is the second one. It is very cool. It's dystopian. It's very weird. There's alien vibes. It's in Russia. It feels like Cold War Russia. The shooting mechanics are fantastic. I think it could have easily won Best Shooter of the Year when it came out. Its shooting mechanics are top notch. Like, say what you will about Call of Duty games, their shooting mechanics are bar none, and Metro Last Light was up there. It was really close. And I just love the story. I love the environment. The best thing about video games is environment. My last two games here, Bioshock. I don't really need to say anything about Bioshock, really. It's all been said before. You know why it's on my list. And my personal favorite game of all time is Mass Effect 2. Mass Effect is my favorite franchise. The third game was too shootery. The first game was way too RPG to be way too RPG. The second one is definitely the middle ground of hitting it right, where it has very good shooting mechanics and a very good story. I love getting all of these. It's probably why you like Persona, I'm assuming. Getting all of these characters, gathering them up, and learning about them. Diving deep into these characters' psyches. Obviously, the gameplay is different. Persona and Mass Effect are drastically different. But I love learning about people and learning really good stories. And the way they handle those character stories of their own missions, and you learn so much about these characters. And the world is so... Talking about world building earlier with Borderlands, the Mass Effect universe is crazy. And there's so much there. And I can't wait for Andromeda. And Mass Effect 2, definitely. I love Mass Effect. Mass Effect 3 is okay. I actually like the ending of Mass Effect 3. That's not my problem with the game. But Mass Effect 2, favorite game of all time. I absolutely love it. Sorry if I went on too long, but I could talk.
Oh, no, you're good. I'll probably go on about the same amount of time. But, like, Mass Effect, I still need to play Mass Effect, like, any of them. Like,
play 2. You can skip one. You can skip one.
I can skip one. Okay, I'm probably going to skip one then. Because I started to play 2 on the PS2, or the PS3. And my PS3 broke, and so I never got to like get further in it.
One is great. It's a very long game, and it's very in its roots RPG to be an RPG. You can skip it. Two will give you everything you know about the universe, and it's a great experience. So,
okay, awesome. My list it's hilarious because my list is like 30 something games, but then like for 13, 12. I'm gonna mention. I'm not gonna talk about them, but 13, 12, and 11 are Spider-Man 2, Mario 64, and then Mario Kart 64, and then The Last of Us is number 11, and then number 10 is Donkey Kong 64, which is I think hilarious, because like to anybody that probably sounds like blasphemy, but to me that's like oh yeah, obviously, like yeah. Donkey Kong 64 is so good to me, and I don't understand why it's like not considered like one of the best games like ever. The animation's really good. The humor in the game, the robustness of it. The it is like too much collecting, and that is a huge issue, and that's like everybody's main issue in the game with the game, is that like there's way too much collecting in the game. But even that, like for an N64 game, I just feel like it has so much content and so much to it, and it has such charm. Yeah, I love that game so much. And so that's my number 10. My number 9, Portal 2. And that's basically because, like, Portal 2 blew my mind. I played Portal 2 before Portal 1. But I think I think I watched a Let's Play. I think that was, like, my first Let's Play is Portal 1. I watched that when it was first a thing. And I watched people play the whole game. And then later I played Portal 2. And, I mean, I don't need to go much into it. It's just an amazing game. Smash Bros. Is my number 8. Super Smash Bros. For the N64. And that's basically because, like, I'm pretty sure I put more time to that game than any other game I've ever played. My number 7 is GTA 5. Basically because at one point in my life, Grand Theft Auto San Andreas was my favorite game of all time. And my only gripes with that game was that, like, it didn't have, like, it could have had better graphics. And I wish there was, like, some kind of online mode so I could hang out with people and play this game and do, like, competitive stuff. Or, like, an MMO mode would be awesome for Grand Theft Auto San Andreas. And that was, like, when I was in high school. Then they came out with GTA 5, and GTA 5 was basically, like, San Andreas with everything else I wanted with it. Yep. And so that's why it's, like, my number 7. My number 6, I believe it's number 6. Hold on.
GTA 5 also has one of the best social commentaries, and people don't look at that game for that reason. They should. Like,
oh, yeah.
That game is so good at being a social commentary. I absolutely... GTA 5, I played... So the first GTA I ever played was GTA 2, the top-down. Never finished it. Played San Andreas, never finished it. Played GTA 4, never finished it. Played Vice City, never finished it. GTA 5 was the first GTA game I played from beginning to end because I actually felt, personally, this is all personal opinion, it was one of the first GTA games that had a story that really captivated me. And I just love that. The social commentary, it's so, so good. It's the same reason, like you said, people love South Park and Family Guy. It just... Oh, I nailed it on the head. I love that game so much.
Yeah. I think it's... I'm not going to say GTA 5 is underrated, but I do think the story in GTA 5 is underrated. Like, I think it's such a great story and very entertaining. The characters are very, like, very good. But yeah, the social commentary is awesome. And I think 4 kind of does the same thing, but it does it in a way that's more, like, kind of depressing. Like, 4 is not as fun. Like, there's something about 4 where it's like, I don't really feel like playing this. It feels kind of like,
it's,
I feel
kind of sad. New York sucks.
Yeah, it kind of just does suck. Then you get to LA and it's just like everything's more lively and people are more crazy. Meanwhile, in New York, people are just like killing each other and it's kind of depressing. Like, even when you're killing people in 4, you're kind of like, man, it's kind of sad. Yeah. Like, and yeah, San Andreas also kind of, it had social commentary, but it's for, like, it's completely different. Like, it's all depends on your taste, and I'll get to San Andreas later, but that's GTA 5 is number 7. Number 6 for me is Super Mario Brothers 3.
Great
and
choice.
That growing up, I didn't play Super Mario World, and so Super Mario 3 is, of course, like, the superior one for me. I played World now, and actually growing up, I did play the first level of World, like, the first, like, few levels, actually, but I never got far in it, and so I can never really compare the two. 3 is awesome, though, and for obvious reasons. Number 5 for me is Shadow of the Colossus, and that was the first game I played to where I was like, yeah, like, video games are an art form. And I don't think I ever thought about video games that way before I played that game. I think that was also in high school. The game's amazing. And I didn't know what to expect when I was going into it. A friend just let me borrow it because he was like, hey, just borrow these two games because whatever reason. And I went into it, didn't know what it was, came out of it completely changed as a gamer. My number 4 is Pokemon Blue. And
yeah. I need to put that on my list.
You always kind of forget that one. Like Pokemon, so vital, and it was such a vital part of my childhood and my growing up. Such a good game, and I played that game. I probably beat that game more times than I beat any other game. And actually, my time played in that game might even be comparable to my time playing Super Smash Brothers. Like, it's very, I think every time I do a playthrough of that game, I always clock in at maybe like 24, 25 hours. And I know I've done at least, like, maybe 20-something game throughs or playthroughs of that game. Such an awesome game. Metal Gear Solid 3 is my number 3, and that's my favorite Metal Gear Solid game. And it was my first Metal Gear Solid game. It has an amazing story, amazing bosses. What a way to
start with the best one.
Oh,
man.
Oh, dude. Oh, yeah, exactly, the best one. The end, man, that boss battle with the end. The funny thing is, I played Shadow of the Colossus and Metal Gear Solid 3 within, like, a two-week period of each other. Like, those are the two games my friend let me borrow. And those two games changed me as a gamer. Like, Shadow of the Colossus from, like, an art perspective and from, like, this is a game that's only boss battles. And, like, seeing the game being made and approached in such a way I'd never seen before. And Metal Gear Solid 3 from just a, like, this game is so weird, but the story's so fascinating. And I've never been into war or, like, history in this way. And, man, like, the relationship between these characters is so awesome. And then you have the end, which is my favorite boss battle of all time. To where, like, the end to me, like, I felt like I was there. Like, that's the thing about the end boss battle. I felt like I was, like, in the grass just waiting for this dude to pop up so I can snipe him. Like, if you're not familiar with the end boss battle from Metal Gear Solid 3, first of all, play Metal Gear Solid 3 and play that boss battle. But basically what it is, it's a sniper battle between you and this, like, seasoned sniper. And there's this thing in the game where, like, the end is really old. If you, I think it takes, like, a week or something, but if you're in that boss battle for a certain amount of time, like, if you're in the boss battle for, like, a week or something, or, like, you leave your PS2 for a week and then you come back or something, he'll die of old age, which is the craziest thing I've ever heard of. Like, that's insane. And I remember hearing that and being like, what the heck, dude? But yeah, I mean, apart from that, so much greatness in that game, like, so many more great things in that game. Grand Theft Auto San Andreas is my number 2, and that's because, like, it's Grand Theft Auto San Andreas. Like, that was the first game I played that was that, like, robust and that open and had that much content, and, the environment and the story in that game just made it for me. Like, I really loved the gangster kind of thing it had going on, and it's weird because, like, I always, like, kind of like, I don't know the word to use for it, but whenever I see black people portrayed in a certain way in, like, in either movies or games or whatever, I always get kind of like, oh, whatever. Like, when I see Barrett in Final Fantasy VII, I'm like, screw this guy. Like, the most, like, black, like, stereotypical dude. And this is, San Andreas is a game that's all about, like, black gangsters and all about, yeah, like, the hood and stuff. But I think they did it in a way that was right. Like, they said it in the 90s, they made it all about, like, dudes in Compton. Like, they did it in a way that was right. And I'm a black dude, right? And I'm the furthest thing from a gangster, but playing this game, I was like, dude, I'm feeling this. Like, yeah. I grew up loving rap. I grew up hanging out with, like, other black people. I hung out with white people, I hung out with other races, but, like, I hung out with black people, and we could all come to this game and kind of, like, have this shared culture with this game, you know. And it's weird. It's a weird thing to talk about and say, since, like, once again, I'm not a gangster. I didn't grow up in any kind of hood. I grew up middle class. Like, it everything's okay. But yeah, that game touched on a certain part of culture that other games just didn't. And I really appreciated that. And also, like, I thought the story was awesome, and soundtrack is amazing. Everything about that game is amazing to me, and I spent so much time in that game that it's ridiculous. My number 1 is Super Mario 64, and Super Mario 64 is, like, my favorite. I mean, of course, it's my favorite Mario game. It's my number 1 game of all time, and I think it might have been, like, it was one of my first games I ever played. I think it was my first game I ever beat, and I know that game like the back of my hand. I mean, I go back and play it every year, and it still holds up, in my opinion. Other people might disagree, but in my opinion, it still holds up. It still feels smooth. The levels still feel well designed. Maybe it could be better designed, but I mean, I don't really have any complaints about the game. And if you need to know why that game is my favorite, then just play it, and you can probably figure it out.
That game is super important in video game history. That's a very important game.
It pretty much defined 3D games and how 3D games were supposed to play and were supposed to feel like.
I have a question for you. So you, mm-hmm. San Andreas is number 2 on your list. How did you feel rolling up to CJ's neighborhood in GTA 5? Was it cool? Did you?
that was an iconic moment for me playing that game. It was kind of weird because the hood it looked different.
Yeah.
And it was kind of unrecognizable. Like, if they didn't say it was Grove Street, I wouldn't have realized. But yeah, like rolling up to it, I was kind of like, yo, this is really cool. And I kind of stopped for a second to kind of like take it in, and yeah, I continued on with it. Yeah, it was cool. It was awesome.
I like your
I was
list.
Hoping to see CJ, but
the cool thing about video games is like we have completely different lists because we're completely different people. But you know, I think most of the games both of us named were really great games, and I if somebody said you need to put these on your top 10 out of the games you named, I wouldn't have an issue because a lot of the games you named I love as well. They're just not quote unquote in my top 10, you know. So it's really cool.
Yeah,
that's why I love video games.
Probably the only questionable one on my list is Donkey Kong 64, but I'm kind of biased towards that game.
I love that game. Like, people have an issue with the collectathon. That's a personal choice. It's kind of like people who say Witcher 3 is too dense. Then don't make it dense for yourself. That's a personal issue.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Exactly. But yeah, I can talk all day about Donkey Kong 64, and I might just do like an exclusive Donkey Kong 64, 64 podcast. Who knows?
Coming soon.
An episode that. Oh man, that game. There's so much about that game that's just so awesome. It's so underrated. It's like my number one underrated game, and I'll talk about that game like literally all day. I go back and play it, and I'm like, this game still holds up. I don't care what anybody says. This game still holds up.
Also, none of us mentioned Sonic because Sonic is one of the most overrated game franchises of all time.
Oh man, Sonic is on my list somewhere, but it's like later, and that's only Sonic 2.
Yeah.
I played Sonic Heroes, and I can admit that game is a piece of crap. I enjoyed it at the time. I played it when I was in like middle school, but man, that's not a good game. My memories of the game were not good. Sonic 2 though, the only good Sonic game.
So I'm excited. Are we getting into viewer questions?
Oh yeah, let's get into viewer questions, and we'll wrap up from there. Okay. If I can find my doc. Okay, here it is. Let's see. First question. Let's go with Seth Sproul's question. And if you're listening, also, these are questions from like last week, since we didn't have enough time to kind of go through all the questions. So we'll be going through last week's questions to kind of finish them up and make sure everybody gets read. Seth Sproul asks, what kind of samples have you been working with? What video game soundtracks effects are you sampling? Oh, this is a reference to my I mentioned on Twitter that I was working on a video game hip hop remix instrumental mixtape EP whatever. And so I'll answer that real quick with one word: Persona Tale. All right, next question comes from Matt Powers, and he asks, Matt Tacular on Twitter, he asks, how do you feel about the TPP and why? Me and you, Jared, we discussed this a little bit before the podcast because you asked me what TPP meant. Funny thing is, Matt tweeted me and I asked him, I was like, are you talking about Twitch Plays Pokemon or are you talking about
I forgot the second thing I asked him.
No, I didn't even know what the Trans-Pacific partnership was. Like, I asked him, Twitch Plays Pokemon or the Phantom Pain? That's what I asked him. I was like, okay, which TPP are you talking about? But then, yeah, you mentioned the Trans-Pacific partnership, which is what I'm pretty sure he's probably actually talking about, which I know nothing about, but you know some stuff about, right?
Yeah, I don't want to go too long in it because it's a video game podcast, but essentially, my feelings on her, it sucks, but it's already signed and agreed, so we can't really do much about it. Yeah, it sucks for healthcare, it sucks for U.S. jobs, it sucks for a lot of reasons. But, yeah, let's get into the more video game related questions there.
Yeah, stuff. Let's do it. So, Albert Duong on Twitter, @adwongen, I don't know how to pronounce your name, bro. Pick one game you wish you were the best in the world at.
Oh, this is easy. 100%.
Which one?
League of Legends or Dota. Have you seen the money they make?
That
I don't like those
point.
Games at all, but do you see the money those guys make? Those guys make
like you can become
money.
Like a millionaire, right? If you're if you're like amazing at the game.
Yeah, and that's not even including the sponsorship deals they get. Are you kidding me? Like EVO's cool. Like to be really good at a fighting game is cool, but they don't make anywhere near the money that League and Dota players make. Like if you're the best in the world, dude, Dota, League, any like the top money making mobile or Counter-Strike. Counter-Strike players make good money too, especially if you're using illegal gambling sites. Yeah, easily Dota or League. That's an easy answer for me.
For me, my answer, this is a weird answer, but the original, crap, what was it? Donkey Kong. That's the one. That's the one, right? The classic arcade game.
It's called Donkey Kong. You're talking about the King of Kong's documentary game?
Yeah. That game, because I think there's a certain amount of like fame and a certain amount of respect that comes with being the best at that game, because they like you said, there's documentaries about people that play that game. There's like that's one of the games that people come to and they want to see like who gets the high score, right? And it was one of the things back in the classic arcades. It's hard for me to talk about arcades back then because I was born in 94, but back when Donkey Kong was in arcades, I'm sure like there was a certain amount of respect with being on the top of that leaderboard, and I think there kind of still is remnants of that. And so like I think to be the best in that would grant me some respect. From a personal satisfaction standpoint, FIFA, I want to be the best in FIFA, basically because I'm already like I'm very competitive in FIFA, and I don't see very competitive as in like I go to tournaments or whatever, but I will beat any of my friends in FIFA, yeah, easily, and I do quite well in FIFA. I've been playing FIFA since like 2006.
I'm the same with Madden. I've been playing Madden since like 98 when I was like 7, and I'm pretty good at it. Like I'm really good. Like I can beat almost anybody that isn't like top tier tournament. Like I'm pretty good at that game. Yeah, I'm with you on that.
I love sports games actually in general. Same. I'm like it's yeah, and I think sports games are kind of underrated by gamers specifically. Maybe not by like the casual gamer or whatever, but like. NBA 2K,
those games
awesome, and I'd love to be great at that.
The 2K games are probably the most well made sports games out there. I think they're better overall than FIFA or Madden. They're like there's a polish to them with the animation that is like bar none. Mm-hmm. I like that FIFA's getting a story mode this year too. That's cool.
Oh yeah, that's pretty cool. I don't know how well that's gonna do, but it's pretty cool that they're trying it out. I think 2K looks better than any other sports game.
Yep.
And I think it's more polished, probably in from a presentation standpoint. I really don't like their menus. Their menus annoy me in 2K.
Yep.
But apart from that, like the actual game like looks better. I think in terms of like a gameplay aspect, it's hard for me to compare, but it's a very well made game. Let's move on to the next question from Fiona Mackinnon at Zeranix on Twitter. You guys gotta have better, easier Twitter names. She asks, "What are our feelings on pineapple pizza?" And this is a reference to like a Twitter convo we were having last week. Because basically, I was saying that anybody who likes pineapple pizza is a bad person, is a garbage person actually, and should see a therapist. Do you have any feelings on pineapple pizza,
Jared? First of all, is this Fiona? Is this the Fiona that designed the Vita Island T-shirt?
Yes, that is. That is the same Fiona.
Props to her. That design was really awesome.
It was really good. I should actually get one of those. I think it's too late for me, though.
It's funny because me and my friends were actually having this conversation, and there's about 10 of us, and only one person says they don't like pineapple on pizza, and the rest of us like pineapple on pizza. So really? In our realm, he is the garbage person for not liking it. For me though,
pepperoni is where it's at.
Pineapple pizza is my favorite. The mm-hmm. conversation we were having is does it belong on pizza? And I definitely think it does in a certain aspect. Like, you don't eat pineapple pizza the same way you do any other pizza. Like, it's either pineapple by itself on a pizza or it's pineapple mm-hmm. with Canadian bacon. You can't put pepperoni and pineapple. That's blasphemy to both of those things. You can't put sausage. None of that stuff works. It's either pineapple mm-hmm. by itself or pineapple and Canadian bacon. You know, you can't do anything else. If you want pepperoni, get a pepperoni only. Don't mix pepperoni and pineapple. What's wrong with you? That being said, I'm not a huge pizza guy to begin with, but yeah, it's funny that it's funny how all this stuff works out. Because like to you, you know, people who like pineapple, it's like eh. But to my group of friends, it's like people who don't like pineapple on pizza, it's like eh. So it's funny.
Oh man. Yeah, there's no reason for pineapple to even touch a pizza. I'm not Hawaiian, and so. I'm gonna leave that one alone. Last question for the day is from Corey Hicks at Chixie2 on Twitter. He asks, "Your favorite Ninja Turtle character and why?" This is an interesting question for me because it's a question that I don't think I've ever actually been asked. And so,
the answer is so easy.
It's easy, but I'm also gonna be like the odd one out. And I'm going to say Raphael. Yeah, the contrarian. I'm gonna be the Colin Moriarty of the situation. I'm gonna say Raphael. Always, mainly because one, red is one of my favorite colors. Red is my favorite color, I should say. And Raphael, I always enjoy like his like I don't care attitude and like his his roughness and his like it's a very weird choice for me because I'm not at all like Raphael and I'm not at all like a tough rough kind of dude. And I don't like sharp things, but I don't know. There's something cool about him. And so, yeah, I got to go with Raphael.
He is a cool guy. The funny thing is, red's your favorite color, but you have Pokemon Blue. I find that fascinating.
Yeah, it's just the way the cards were dealt. Also, there's something about Pokemon Red that I don't appreciate, and I don't know why. I don't know why I prefer Blue over Red in Pokemon.
Don't worry, I've lived a life of being a Bulbasaur comes first kind of guy, and people hate me for that. So.
Ugh. I never understood that.
Bulbasaur does have the second best evolution. Charmeleon looks like a crazy person, and Wartortle
Charmeleon
looks weird.
Oh, you shut your mouth. Charmeleon is literally my favorite Pokemon. We discussed this last week. Charmeleon is my favorite. He looks so cool. He's red. He's so cool. Bulbasaur literally evolves into a fat person. Like Venusaur looks like a hoarder. Like if Venusaur was a human, Venusaur would be on an episode of Hoarders.
I do agree.
For hoarding plants.
Venusaur is definitely the worst looking. Like Charizard is super cool looking. Blastoise is super cool looking. Venusaur is really sloppy. But I really love the design of Bulbasaur and Ivysaur. I just think Venusaur is atrocious. I agree with you on that. But I do like, so as far as like the new game, I love the Grass Starter Rally. He looks really cool, the owl. But going back to the question,
oh, yeah.
Favorite turtle. It's funny because you pick somebody who's polar opposite of you. My choice is because I relate so much to this person. Donatello is my favorite.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to go Michelangelo because I feel like everybody goes Michelangelo.
Screw Michelangelo. I like the color orange. But like Donatello, purple headband. Purple's one of my favorite colors. He's the smartest of them. He's technically like the second in command. And he's super smart, right? And he was always about science and technology and stuff like that. And the other guys are worried about, like, being the cool dude or being the stoic, strong guy. He's just worried about being the smart dude. Plus, a bow staff? Super cool.
Oh, yeah. Bow staff's
so cool.
I've
always resonated with Donatello. He's always been my favorite. He's, like I said, he's just a smart dude. And I really love people who... it's kind of like the Bruce Wayne aspect of Batman of like you see a situation and you kind of analyze it and figure out the best tactic for it. That's more of a scientific mind kind of thing, and I just love that he's like a tech guy and he's smart and stuff, because you know a lot of times that scene is like it's pushed away as being super nerdy or you don't want to be that guy, and for Donatello it seems like he brings a certain air to that kind of character arc that like people can attach to and stuff. And yeah, like I said, a bow stab, that's a cool... Beating people with a stick is awesome. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because it shows restraint, but also shows that you will still, like... You'll beat the mess out of somebody
with
easily.
With a stick.
So, yeah. With a stick. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think my other choice would actually be Michelangelo, if I had a second choice. And Michelangelo is also somebody that I kind of relate to, but not... too much. Like Michelangelo is probably more goofy than I am. I don't know. I'm a weird mixture of people.
It's because you're like, human and you're unique.
It is because I'm human. There's a really good quote from Persona actually, and I'm taking this quote to heart, where I can't remember exactly what the quote was now that I think about it. I should have written it down, but it was from Yukiko, and she was saying about how like basically as humans like. We're all like we have different personalities and we're different people. Like me myself, like there's different personalities inside me. Not in like a crazy person type of way, not in like a multiple personality disorder kind of type of way. But like I had different moods. I had different like I don't know, fronts for different times or like all of them are still allowed to be me. Which I thought was like a really cool point they made in Persona. Basically she was saying that in reference to Rise, and basically her being, like, famous, but at the same time being her down-to-earth self. So, man, Persona might end up going in my list of top 10. Because I'm getting literal philosophical lessons from it. But yeah, man, that about wraps it up. Can you remind us one more time, what's your Twitter? What's your website? What's your podcast?
Okay, yeah, so my name is Jared. You can find me at Twitter at Jared underscore. That's J-E-R-R-A-D underscore. Yeah, you can find me at Controlled Interest. We have a YouTube channel. Just type in Controlled Interest on Google. It'll pop up. We also have a Twitter. It's C-T-R-L-I-N-T. It's Controlled Interest abbreviated. Yeah, we're an upcoming podcast, just like a blessing here. And love for you guys to go check out our stuff. We post a weekly podcast. I'm actually going to start doing a new weekly video series called The Download, where it's a 2 to 3 minute video where I talk about really quickly sum up all the news for the week, so you can get in and get out and kind of be caught up with the news without having to listen to our podcasts all the time. So if you just want to get a really quick refresher of everything, I think it's going to be a pretty cool idea. Yeah, so Controlled Interest, Jared underscore. Thank you, Blessing, for having me. It's cool to be on episode 3. Unfortunately, Ian wasn't here. I can't wait to meet him next time I'm on.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and it was definitely, really cool. Definitely. I really enjoy your format. I really think it's a cool podcast, and it was a pleasure being able to be invited, man. I really appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on and filling Ian's seat. You're doing me actually like a very huge favor right now, so I really appreciate you for coming on and really appreciate all the stuff you had to offer. I think your top 10 list is awesome, and really enjoy this podcast. You can find me at Blessing Jr. on Twitter and on Instagram, doing Snapchat stories, apparently. Who knows? OK Beast is a brand dedicated to games culture and looking at how games fit within our culture. The OK Beast podcast is a gaming-centric show where a couple of friends come together and talk about what's going on in our world. If you like that, subscribe to us on your podcast service of choice. Visit OKBeast.com and follow at OKBeast now on Twitter. This has been episode 3. Thank you for listening.